but the Lord spoke to me today to lay my hands on those of you who feel God is calling you to be a teacher.
In 2008, God spoke to Andrew Womack to do something he'd never done before. He imparted his teaching gift to hundreds of ministers in Uganda through the laying on of hands. These men and women had recently graduated from the Discipleship Evangelism course. Now, they teach instead of preach, multiplying the almost too good to be true news in a land that desperately needs it. For a complete report on this story, go to awmi.net and click on Today's News feature. Invest yourself in Andrew Womack Ministries today.
Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Tuesday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today, I am continuing a series that I began yesterday talking about redemption. You know, that's kind of a theological term, and a lot of people just kind of, when you say a word that they don't really relate to, it's just kind of like they put it on pause or fast forward or something and just kind of skip over that. But there is a lot in what the Bible says about redemption. And I tell you, this, in a nutshell, I'll get into more detail as we go through this series, but the Bible says redemption is referring to the forgiveness of our sins. There's confusion. Some people think you're only forgiven of sins up until the point where you confess and ask Jesus to become your Lord. But I'm going to show you that redemption is already complete. Redemption also includes being redeemed from all of the side effects of sin. Now, there are some things, such as it says in Ephesians chapter 1, that there is still a future redemption of our body. But we are redeemed from a lot of things today that people are not aware of, and therefore they aren't accepting their full redemption. I think that as I go through this series and talk about redemption, even though that word is something that is familiar to people and they think, oh, I know this, I think you're going to discover that there's a lot that we have missed about this, and it has the potential to just transform your life. So yesterday I started in the book of Ephesians, and we started reading with Ephesians chapter 1, and we only covered verses 3 and 4. I talked about how that Ephesians is approaching the Christian life from a totally different perspective than what most people do. Most people believe God can do anything, but He has done nothing. Ephesians comes along praying and thanking God for what we already have, that we're already blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, and that this is something that God ordained and predestined before the world began. This doesn't mean that you have no choice in the matter. It means that God knew that mankind was going to destroy the sinless perfection that He created in the universe, and yet He still thought that the end result of having us in fellowship with Him was worth all of the cost it was going to be to Him, sending His Son, seeing His Son suffer and die, all of the suffering that has gone on in the human race, all of those things pale in comparison to the riches of the glory of all of the things that God has provided for us. Now, you know, that's easy to say, but most people don't look at things that way. They look at the price and they say, I don't care what the end result is, it's not worth it. God thinks differently. God thought so much of you and me. You know, this is mind-boggling that I could even say this, but this is true. That He thought so much of us that there was no price, even the price of His own Son suffering and dying, nothing was worth as much as the result of that suffering, which was having you and me in fellowship with Him. That's how much God thinks of us. You know, that's really beyond our ability to comprehend. But that's what the Scripture teaches, and that's what we were studying yesterday in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Let me go back and just read those verses, and then we'll continue on through the verses after that. But in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us. Notice it's already done. Hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Notice that we are holy and without blame before Him in love, not through justice. Nobody can ever be holy based on your own actions, but through God looking at us through Jesus, through the sacrifice of Jesus, through the redemption of Jesus, then He declares us holy. We're going to study this verse later in more detail, but Ephesians 4:24 says, "Put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." You aren't becoming righteous and holy. You aren't trying to become holy. You were created that way. It's something that happens through Jesus. And notice it also said we should be holy and without blame. There's a difference between being without blame and being without sin. A person can be wrong, can have made a mistake, and yet because of the goodness and the mercy, the grace of God, they can be without blame. They can be declared blameless when they really are to blame because of the forgiveness of God. There's a lot that I could say about that. But going on in verse 5, it says, "...having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself according to the good pleasure of His will." I talked about this in a little detail on yesterday's program, but this is just mind-boggling that all of this was the good pleasure of His will. And again, physical human beings tend to look at the cost, the sacrifice, and because the cost is so high, the cost that sin brought into this earth is so high, not only on mankind, but also on God's part, the price that He had to pay to buy us back and redeem us. Most of us would say nothing is worth it. If we would have been God, we'd have just wiped us all out and have started over and done something differently. But this says that it was the good pleasure of His will to do all of these things. He knew in advance. He knew before He created the earth what was going to happen, and it still was His good pleasure. It was pleasing to God to create mankind and give us this free will, even though so much tragedy has come out of it. The good that's going to come out of it is going to be infinitely greater than all of the damage. That's not the way that most people think, but that's the way that God thinks. And again, I could go back and re-preach that, but I talked about that yesterday. Notice this. In verse 6, it says, "...to the praise of the glory of His grace." See, when you understand salvation properly, that it's not something you earn, it's not something that you live holy and God grants you salvation, redemption, as a product of what you've done. But when you understand that it is totally the gift of God, that Jesus paid the price, and you don't have to live holy to be holy. You can receive holiness and righteousness as a gift, is what it says in Romans chapter 5, a number of different places. When you understand this, it makes you praise the grace of God, not praise your works. When we stand before God, nobody's going to be able to stand there and claim that, you know, God owed this to me because I was so holy and, man, I get the credit because I earned this. There's not a one of us that deserves salvation. If we got what we deserved, we would all go to hell, myself included. It doesn't matter who is the holiest person that has ever lived on the face of the earth. Romans 3:23 says, "All have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And so when you understand salvation correctly, which I believe there's a lot of misunderstanding about it today, and that's the reason I'm teaching on this, but when it's understood correctly, the praise all goes to the glory of His grace, not to you, not to your credit. That's what it's saying. To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein, talking about in grace or through grace, it is by grace, not by any goodness on your part, that He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. You know this word accepted. The Bible is great at understating things. You know, I don't mean that as a criticism, but God is so awesome. How do you, you know, you fail for words to be able to describe what God is doing. Like in the book of Genesis, God created the heavens and the earth, and He created light, and He created the animals, and He created the trees, and He created man, and He did all of these things, and God looked and says, "It's good." You know what? That doesn't even begin to convey what creation was all about. The more I study creation, I'm not a great study in all of that, but I mean the things that I understand about the human body, about creation, about the universe, about the complexity of it, all of these things. You know, I've done a little bit of studying in quantum physics, which is mind-boggling. The more you know, the more you appreciate that creation isn't just good. It is awesome. It's beyond our ability to even find out. And yet the Bible says it's good. Well, this is kind of one of those things right here. It says, He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. Actually, that the way that we use the word accepted, like, well, I'll accept that. That doesn't necessarily mean it's good. It doesn't necessarily mean it's what you really want, but you'll accept it. We aren't just accepted. We aren't just tolerated. But you know, the only other time that this Greek word that was translated accepted in the Beloved, the only other time that this was used in Scripture is when the angel Gabriel appeared unto Mary and announced that she was going to be the mother of the Messiah. And here is where that instance is in Luke chapter 1. And in verse 28, it says, The angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Now, this angel was proclaiming that Mary was highly favored. Boy, again, that's another understatement. I mean, out of every woman who has ever lived on the face of the earth and every woman that was alive on the earth at this time, here is this young teenager. You know, there's nobody that knows for sure, but the custom of the day was that these girls married somewhere around 13, 14, 15 years old. She was probably a very young teenager. And this angel Gabriel appears and said, You are highly favored. The Lord is with thee. You are blessed among women. Boy, what a powerful statement. Just think of the honor, the privilege of being the one that God chose to bring the Messiah into the earth. A unique position. No other woman's ever been able to claim this. There has never been a second virgin birth. There never will be. This is a unique position. The only person in the history of the world that this ever happened to. And the angel said, You are highly favored. Did you know that that exact Greek word is the same Greek word that was translated accepted in the Beloved over in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6. It's the only two times that that word is used in the New Testament. So I believe that, you know, to help us understand what this is really saying, in Ephesians 1, 6, it says, To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. Or you could say, wherein we are highly favored in the same way that Mary is. Actually, we have been favored and blessed infinitely greater than what the Virgin Mary was blessed. And I know that there's some religious people today that somehow or another put Mary in a category by herself, and they use her and they say all of the Hail Marys and do this stuff. You know, you may not like what I'm saying, but I'm just telling you that that is not what the Scripture says. As a matter of fact, there's an instance where Jesus was teaching and the people were so overwhelmed with His teaching that a woman just cried out and says, Blessed is the womb that bare you and the paps that you have sucked, and began to start blessing Jesus' mother. And Jesus turned right around and He said, Yea, rather are more blessed are those who hear the Word of God and keep it. If you have received the Word of God, if you've been born again, Jesus' own words say you are more blessed than Mary. Now, I'm not trying to diminish the fact that, man, what a great privilege for God to use her to bring in the physical body of the Messiah. But I'm saying that I'm more blessed than Mary is. I am more to be reverenced and thanked, and I am more blessed than what Mary was. Amen. I know some of you are going to hate me for saying that, but I'm saying what Jesus said. You are more blessed if you have heard the Word of God and received it than Mary was. If you don't like what I'm saying, don't get mad at me. Get mad at Jesus. That's what Jesus said about His own physical mother. I'm saying all of this to say that when the Ephesians 1, 6 says that you have been made accepted in the Beloved, it's using the same greeting that Gabriel gave Mary, that you are highly favored, you are blessed. We are highly favored and blessed. Think what it means to be accepted by God, and not just tolerated, not that use of the word accepted, but accepted in the sense that you're highly favored, that you are blessed above all people. You know, if we really understood that this was a part of redemption, if we really understood what our redemption was, if you were to meditate on this and to think that you are accepted by God, I guarantee you, it would solve a lot of problems. I personally do not relate to a person saying that they're depressed if they are accepted in the Beloved, if they have been highly favored. I just don't believe you realize fully what has happened to you. And somebody comes back and responds, but you don't understand what's happened to me. Well, you don't understand what's happened to you. You're focused on the physical problems. You're looking on the negative things that have happened. What I'm doing is looking at what God has done for you in the unseen realm, but it's nonetheless real. And in the spiritual realm, God Almighty sent His Son to die for your sins, paid a price for you because He loved you so much. And if you've accepted that, now He indwells you. He's placed His power on the inside of you. He gave you the same power that He used now to rule and to dominate. He will never leave you nor forsake you. And if you were to focus on that and realize what it means to be now accepted in the Beloved and how highly favored you are, I guarantee you it would dispel all of your depression, all of your discouragement, all of your fear. Some of you are afraid that you're going to be fired, that somebody's going to reject you, that somebody's going to do something to you. If you would focus on the fact that the Almighty God, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, has accepted you and that He will never leave you, even if you deserve it, even if you do stupid stuff and make mistakes, He's never going to leave you or forsake you. If you were to focus on that, it would shrink down all of these other people who could reject you to a point that who cares? Nobody can do anything to me that even remotely compares to the favor and the blessing that God has placed on my life. And as long as I'm focused on what God has done for me, then I won't be overcome with what people do unto me. You know, the Scripture says, God is on my side. I shall not fear what man shall do unto me. And there are just so many Scriptures that basically make that same point. If you are stressed out today because somebody's rejected you, if you're fearful of some rejection coming, if your circumstances, your health situation, your finances, your marital status, your children, whatever it is that life can stress you out about, I can guarantee you nothing that you are experiencing even remotely compares with what God has already done for you. And if you were to focus on what God has done, it would shrink these problems down to such a manageable size that it'd be no big deal. You know, there's an old song that we used to sing in the church I was brought up in. It says, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. It's very similar to when you look at a bright light or look at the sun. When you look at the brightness of that sun, it just nearly blinds you so that when you look somewhere else, you can't see anything because the brightness of that light was so great, it just impairs your ability to see for a moment until your eyes adjust. Well, would to God that we look so much at Jesus, that we were so overwhelmed by what He has done for us, that we would never adjust to, again, just being normal and seeing things the way that other people see them. Would to God that we could always be so overwhelmed with what God has done for us that we would be focused on that. Boy, that's powerful. That's what these verses are talking about. That God has already blessed us with everything. He chose us in Jesus before the foundation of the world. He predestinated us into the adoption of children. And it's for the glory of His grace. All of the praise goes to Him. And He has made us accepted in the Beloved. We are highly favored more than Mary ever was, more than any other group of people. It doesn't matter if you live in a third world country. You know, our program is being heard all around the world, and there are people that you may be in bad situations, but if you are born again, if Jesus is in your life, God's favor is on you. Almighty God knows you personally. He has favored you more than other people. And so you may be poor in comparison to other people. You may be uneducated in comparison to other people. You may live in a region where the advantages and the opportunities aren't as great as for other people. But if you know Jesus Christ personally, then what you've got is better than any person who doesn't know Him. And it doesn't matter if they have a job that is paying a million times more than yours. It doesn't matter if their outlook for health is better than yours. It doesn't matter what's going on. You have God in your life, and that is the greatest treasure that any person could ever have. Boy, those are powerful, powerful statements. And so it goes on to say in verse 7, it says, in whom, talking about Jesus, we have redemption through His blood, comma, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. This is what we're beginning to talk about, and basically this verse defines what redemption is. It says, we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. This same point, and again, Colossians is a parallel book. It covers the exact same topics in the exact same progression. It just uses different words. But I believe that Paul was basically writing the same thing, just to two different groups. And in Colossians chapter 1, and in verse 14, it says basically the same thing. It says, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. You put these two verses together, it leaves no doubt that when the Bible is talking about redemption, what it's talking about is the forgiveness of your sins. So let's go back and look at this. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. It's praising God for all these wonderful things that we are highly favored. And then in verse 7, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. You know, again, these words are so powerful, and yet it's like the Bible says, I believe it's Mark chapter 7, verse 13, that traditions and doctrines of men make the Word of God of none effect. It's just like if you had a wire that was conducting electricity, but if you have it wrapped in rubber, you know, some kind of an insulation, you can pick up an extension cord that has electricity flowing through it and it doesn't bother you at all because that rubber is an insulator and that current, that power that's flowing through there doesn't touch you. Well, there is power in these words, but religion operates as an insulator. It just makes the word of none effect. And if you have your heart covered over with religious doctrine and thinking, then the power of these words is lost on us. But if you would just think about this and use your brain for something besides a hat rack as we read this, amen, think about this. We have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. We are redeemed. Forgiven the sins is what this same verse says. And it didn't come because we have petitioned God, because we begged, because we cried, because we were worthy of it, because we were a pretty good person. And God could tell we were trying really hard and He needed to throw in with us and just give us an extra push and help us a little bit. No, that's not what it's saying. It's through His blood. It was through the sacrificial offering of the Lord Jesus Christ that we receive this forgiveness of sins. Doesn't have anything to do with your goodness. Doesn't have anything to do with your holiness. You don't deserve anything. And if you are a person who thinks, well, I believe I do. I wasn't real bad. I just needed a little help. If you claim any goodness, if you try and take the blood of Jesus, what He's done for us, the sacrifice of Jesus, and just use it to help you make up the difference. But you are depending upon your works to a point, and then from there on you believe Jesus will help you. If you mix your goodness with anything that Jesus has done for us, you have just polluted and diluted and defamed the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's either what Jesus did for us without our own goodness, or it's our own goodness without Jesus. That's what Romans 11, 6 is saying. But it's not a combination of the two. You need to recognize that redemption here is talking about the forgiveness of sins, and it doesn't come through any goodness on your part. It came through the death of the Lord Jesus. The only part you have to play in it is whether or not you accept it and receive it by faith. Boy, these are powerful truths, and I'm just really getting started in this teaching. I am going to continue this on our program tomorrow. So I encourage you to listen in then, because we've got some wonderful things to share about redemption that this is going to make a difference in your life. I also would like to encourage you to listen as our announcer gives you some information about how you can receive this entire album that I have entitled Redemption. And then the first teaching in that series is entitled What is Redemption? And it'll be a blessing.
Andrew's complete teaching titled Redemption was recorded live at a recent Gospel Truth seminar. It's available on either CD or DVD. Each is available for a gift of any amount. Request item T1056C for the CD or T3201D for the DVD. Or you can get the DVD As Seen on TV for a gift of any amount. Request item T1056D when you contact us. This series is also available for audio download absolutely free on our website. Go to awmi.net and click on Audio Teachings on the left-hand side of the page. The first teaching in the Redemption series titled, What is Redemption? Is available on CD for a gift of any amount. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will send this first CD free of charge when you write or call. Request item TK136. We'd also like to remind you that Andrew's latest book, titled Living in the Balance of Grace and Faith, is available in hardback for a gift of any amount. Request book T228. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. Canadian viewers can now make tax-deductible donations through Andrew Womack Ministries Canada. That address is also on your screen. The generous gifts of our friends and partners help Andrew bring the almost too good to be true news of the gospel into countless homes every day. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today.
Once again, let me direct you to our website. It's a great website. Like I said, we have 19,000 visits per day to our website. And we have over 2,000 of my television programs that are archived, about 8,000 of my radio programs. They're all listed, indexed according to topic, so that you could get topical teaching on that. I also have books, magazine articles there, just a wealth of information. You can download over 300 of my teachings free of charge. It is a tremendous site. I guarantee you it'll help you get in the Word. So we have the website right there on the screen. I encourage you to check it out today.
We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Colorado Springs, Colorado for the Caris Bible College Campus Days this week, March 10th through the 12th, and in Atlanta, Georgia for a Gospel Truth Seminar April 15th through the 17th. He'll also be at the Solid Rock of Atlanta in Georgia, April 18th, in Chicago, Illinois for a Gospel Truth Seminar May 13th through the 15th, and in the UK for the Grace and Faith Family Camp May 28th through the 31st. For those of you looking forward to our annual Summer Family Bible Conference, remember to mark your calendars and join us in Colorado Springs, June 28th through July 2nd. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net. Be sure to tune in tomorrow for more Gospel Truth.